Me llamo Patrick y hoy vamos a tener todo el mensaje en español porque olvidé cómo hablar en inglés. No, broma, broma. Quizás en el futuro vamos a hacer eso. Well, everybody, my name is Patrick Genova. I've been here since May 1st. I have the privilege of leading the youth and family ministry along with my amazing wife, LaMisha. And before we get started, I just want to say, first of all, thank all of you guys so much just for, you know, as I said, we've been here since May. It's been amazing, our experience, our transition here from Spain to be here with you guys. We felt so loved, so encouraged. You guys have had us in your homes. We've eaten with you guys. We really feel like family here. So we just want to say thank you so much. A round of applause for all of you guys. Thank you so much. So today I want to talk about, and the title of my message is The Joy of Being With and Knowing God. The Joy of Being With and Knowing God. Life can be, you know, stressful sometimes, right? It can be challenging. It can be tough. It can feel very heavy. You know, life can throw curveballs at us all. And it can be very painful at times as well. You know, and I want to talk today about how through our walk with Jesus, we can feel light, how we can feel joyful. We can feel peace no matter what circumstances come our way, that with Jesus, we can always feel light. We don't have to feel so, you know, heavy, which I know it's so easy to feel that way. Jesus wants us to have an amazing life. Jesus wants us to live life to the full. He doesn't want us, you know, if you were to die for someone, you know, would you want them to walk around feeling like, oh man, this is a drag? No, you would want them to feel like, I'm living life to the full. I'm going to honor that. You know, you really, that's what Jesus wants for us. He wants us to have amazing, incredible lives. You know, I ask myself, okay, so Jesus wants this for me. So why is that so challenging for me to live this, you know, life to the full? Why is that so tough? And after a lot of thought, I realized that it's tough because I make it tough. You know, I make it hard on myself. It's nothing that Jesus did or didn't do that makes it difficult. It's me making it difficult for myself. And we know that through the scriptures. We're going to read a passage in Matthew 11:28, and this is going to be our central focus for today's this text. We're really going to dig into this. It's Matthew 11:28-30, one of my favorite passages in the Bible. So he says, Jesus speaking, he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's one of my favorite passages because look at these promises. These are just amazing. You know, we can come to him with our burdens. He'll give us rest. Doesn't rest sometimes feel like, yeah, like, I just need rest? You know, and rest for our souls too, not just physically, but for our souls, for how we feel inside. He says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. It's an amazing promise. Sometimes it feel hard to believe this, right? Like following Jesus, like it's really this way. It is. It's a promise. We can feel all of these things and all these blessings from Jesus when we follow the blueprint laid out in this passage. He talks about three things, and we're going to talk about all three of these things today. Number one, go to him, right? He says, come to me. Second one, put on his yoke. We'll talk about what that means. The third thing is learn from him. We do these three simple things. We can feel this life of joy, of no burdens. Walking with Jesus can be amazing. Jesus is inviting everyone who is burdened or weary to come to him. You know, in this time, the Jews had a lot of burdens. You know, they had to obey over 600 laws, right? They had to follow all these laws. The Pharisees were tacking on heavy loads on the Jews, that they had to follow all of these regulations, these man-made regulations. Then on top of those burdens, you have the Romans who were occupying Jerusalem at this time. So you also have to follow the burdens and the laws of the Roman Empire. So you just have layers of burdens on top of burdens for the Jews during this time. And it can feel like that sometimes for us, like we have jobs, we have stress, we have this, it's just burden on top of burden, right? And Jesus is saying, when we feel that way, we can come to him. God is inviting all of us today to come to him in this way. I believe a huge problem is that many times we don't truly go to Jesus. You know, we might, you know, say, "What's up, Jesus?" you know, from afar. We might, you know, throw the peace sign to Jesus, like, "It's good to know you," but we don't really truly go to him with our problems, knowing that he's the only one that can fix our problems. You know, we might not be mad if Jesus throws us a blessing or two, you know, our way, but really going to him in desperation. Could you imagine approaching Jesus in the first century? It probably would have been very intimidating. You know, I bet a lot of, for those people that didn't know him, I bet a lot of people would think like, "Oh, he might not care. You know, he's got enough on his plate already. Look at all these people crowding him. I don't want to, you know, bother him. You know, everyone else is talking to him, so I'll give him his space." It probably would have seemed very daunting to approach Jesus. But yet we have this scripture where Jesus invites us to come to him. You have people in the Bible like Zacchaeus who climbed a tree just to have a moment with Jesus. You have friends that, you know, vandalize the roof of someone's home to lower their friend in to have an interaction with Jesus. You have the Canaanite woman who, you know, was compared to a dog to be willing to have an experience with Jesus. It didn't matter. There was desperation. When you're desperate, you'll do whatever it takes. When you're desperate, you'll come to Jesus in that desperation, knowing that he's the only one that can solve it. These people in stories, you know, we see, they were truly desperate. You know, and sometimes maybe we can see some unanswered prayers or some things that don't change right away. You know, we want to see change right away. And we can say, "All right, you know, yeah, I'll keep praying about this to Jesus, but really I'm going to go do the heavy lifting for this situation. Really, I'm going to pray about it, but I know that in the back of my mind that I'm the one that needs to make this change. You know, I'll take care of that." That's exhausting. That's a heavy burden. I want to come to Jesus in desperation. I want to go to Jesus knowing that he's the only one that can fix this problem. You know, I have to lift up my wife, Lamisha, here. She's an amazing example to me of this, of going to Jesus in desperation. You know, we were in Spain for 2.5 years, and let's just say it was a roller coaster ride. You know, Jeff knows, Joe could tell you some of that. And we had our ups and downs there. And especially in the beginning, there were a lot more downs than ups. You know, it felt like there was a black cloud for a long time. And we were just waiting, like, when is this going to lift? Like, we're in a new country. We're in a new culture. You know, seems like a lot of people don't want us here. So it's like, when is this black cloud going to lift for us? And I just remember there would be certain nights where I would wake up and, you know, Lamisha wouldn't be next to me, so I'm like, "Okay, what, you know, what's going on here?" I'd walk out, and, you know, I'd look outside, and we had this window with a terrace, and I would just see Lamisha in front of this window, like, just, like, looking up to God, talking to God, and she would be crying, you know, and that happened so frequently in our marriage. And it was such a higher calling for me to see Lamisha and just her desperation for God to change the situation, to change what was going on. She went to God in desperation, knowing that only God could fix it. You know, and meanwhile, I'm beating myself up. I'm, you know, working myself to the bone, trying to lift all these heavy weights. And my wife, all she's doing is going and praying to Jesus. And it's such an upward call for me, who I'm very work-oriented. I need to take care of these things, you know. But going to Jesus in desperation, when we go to him that way, we can find rest for our souls. When we're following Jesus or have the yoke of Jesus, it's actually a very low-pressure life. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? You don't have to worry about anything walking with Jesus. Imagine if you were actually walking with Jesus, like he was actually with you walking around. You wouldn't worry about food. You wouldn't worry about anything. You would. It doesn't matter. Oh, how do we get to this place? Okay, well, teleportation. You know, you don't worry about things when you're with Jesus. And we still have this ability to connect with Jesus the same way. The second thing I want to talk about today, and this is the second thing Jesus says to us, is that we need to put his yoke on. He says, "Come to me and put my yoke on," right? So for those of you that, first, you can desperately go to Jesus without actually putting his yoke on. What is a yoke, right? So a yoke is for farming. It's what you put on an ox, and these can be a single ox to carry a load, or it can be for both, right, to do it together in concert with one another. And it's basically the idea of something guiding and directing your life, right? And sometimes we can go to Jesus in a moment of desperation, but not actually put his yoke on us, not actually let him lead and guide our lives. I mean, how many people in the first century with Jesus were healed by Jesus? You know, how many people had an amazing interaction with Jesus? That doesn't mean that everybody became a disciple of Jesus, but they still experienced the goodness and the healing of Jesus, right? So we can go to Jesus in a moment of desperation and probably even have a lot of our prayers answered, but that doesn't mean we make a decision to put his yoke on, to follow him. It's not the same thing. So he says that we need to put his yoke on and learn from him. He wants to be the guiding and leading force in our life. How do you feel about Jesus asking you to put his yoke on you? You know, I imagine that at the time it would have inflamed a lot of the pride of the Pharisees. He's like, oh, what are we? What are you calling me, an animal? You know, I'm not your ox, bro. You know, like, what are you? I'm not going to do this. Like, who are you? I'm not going to let you lead and steer and guide my life. But here's the deal. If we didn't make a decision to put Jesus's yoke on, do not be deceived. You have some other type of yoke on. All right? You do. There's too many pressures in this earth, in this world. Maybe you don't consciously recognize it, but you do have something else leading and guiding your life if it's not Jesus. And the burden of that, it will feel crushing. Any other yoke you have other than Jesus will be a crushing burden. How do we put on the yoke of Jesus, you might ask? First, the first part of putting on the yoke of Jesus is we need to throw off anything that's currently on. We need to take it off. We need to smash it. Get off me, right? We need to take off whatever is there before we can put on the yoke of Jesus. You don't have to turn there, but Matthew 16:25 says, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. You know, I was terrified at the idea of letting Jesus direct and guide my life. I definitely had some trust issues. I remember when I decided to turn myself into Jesus. Like, I remember that decision when I was like, you know, I'm going to turn myself in. I'm going to repent of my sins. I'm going to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And I made that decision. I just remember how light I felt for the first time ever in my life, how light I felt just saying, God, I'm going to let you control my life. I'm going to let you steer and guide me. It was interesting because before I got baptized, I actually thought it was going to be a heavy yoke to follow Jesus. I was actually envisioning my life, this life of like self-sacrifice and just like martyrdom, you know, that awaited me after my baptism. And I was like, you know what, whatever. If I get to go to heaven, I'll put up with the drudgery of being a disciple, right? And what I found out was it's not a drudgery. It's actually a very amazing life to follow Jesus. It's incredible. God's given me an amazing life. He's given me an amazing wife. God's given us an amazing church family. We can go anywhere in the world and we can fellowship with brothers and sisters anywhere. You know, God has taken us on many amazing adventures. You know, we were in Baltimore City. We wanted to help with the urban ministry in Baltimore City, get that going. God took us to Madrid, Spain for 2.5 years to serve there. We moved from Spain to here to be with you guys, and it's still amazing. God has given us an amazing life. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Have you made the decision to give everything to Jesus? Do you still make that decision daily? What keeps you from making that decision? What is preventing you? Whatever you don't decide to give up for Jesus, Satan will use that against you later. Anything that you hold on to, that you keep to yourself, that you grip tightly with both hands, it will be used against you later. Give it to Jesus. He will reorganize everything in the perfect way possible. We can trust him. The whole point of the gospel message is that he came, he died for us. If someone's willing to die for you, how can you not trust them with everything? Jesus says his yoke is easy, his burden is light. When we don't feel this, I believe that's because we are wearing some other type of yoke that we need to destroy and smash to the ground. I'm going to throw out a couple examples that could be your situation. I know a lot of these is mine. This is not to condemn. This is just to help identify so that we can get freedom in Christ. Are you wearing the yoke of people pleasing? Constantly trying to look a certain way, wanting people to like you? Are you wearing the yoke of pride? You know, this is like being self-guided, self-directed. It doesn't make sense. It's harder. Are you wearing the yoke of ambition, whether business or otherwise? Constantly working to get ahead. Constantly busy. Always thinking about pleasing the boss. What do I got to do to get the raise? Are you wearing the yoke of guilt? Constantly feeling guilty that you're not superhuman and you wish you could do it all. Are you wearing the yoke of fear? Paralyzed by fears or hurts from the past that it just paralyzes you to the point of not doing anything. Are you wearing the yoke of emotions? Doing or not doing things based on how you feel in the moment. When we put on the yoke of Jesus, it is us allowing Jesus to move us, to steer us, to guide us. We're allowing Jesus to be in control in every area of our lives. When we went to Spain, you know, there's a certain stigma for, stereotype for Americans. And the stereotype in Spain for Americans is that we have like a Superman complex. We want to, you know, save the world. We want to lead everybody to, you know, our version of health or wellness or whatever. We want to basically just rescue the world. And so we come in, you know, guns blazing. That's kind of how we're perceived, at least in Spain. I know other parts of Europe. So this was definitely an uphill battle when we got to Spain. And I remember feeling the yoke of pleasing everybody. I didn't want to fit that stereotype. So I was always conscious of how am I being perceived by the people here in Spain? How am I being perceived by the church and people outside? And honestly, it was a heavy burden of just always worrying about how. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, yeah, you want to love people. You want people to love you. And I don't think that's inherently sinful or wrong. But to do it to a point that it just becomes this heavy burden that's always on your mind, you're always conscious of it, it will crush anybody. We can't possibly please everybody. And I just remember I got to a point in Spain where I was like, you know what? I'm just going to be me. I'm just going to live my life with Jesus. Jesus loves me. He died for me. He said I was valuable. I'm going to take him at his word. I'm just going to be me. You know? And if they don't like it, they can talk to me about it. But I'm not going to guess if they like me or not, or if I'm fitting into this mold or not. And honestly, people noticed it, and they probably weren't thinking any of these things for the most part. And then once I started doing that, it's you, God, we're doing this together. Amen. When we deal with spiritual problems with worldly solutions, we're under a yoke that isn't Jesus, and we will feel burdened. Since we're in a spiritual battle, it doesn't make sense to wear man-made armor. I want to read a passage in 1 Samuel 17, 38 through 40. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 38 through 40. It says, "Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine." Amen. Imagine the temptation to try to please the king by wearing his armor. Imagine the pressure David must have felt to actually wear that armor. You know, to look good or to say, oh, I wore the, you know, king's armor. I'm the man. You know, honestly, if David decided to wear Saul's armor, we might not even have the story of David. To be honest, he might just be a footnote in the Bible. And on that day, there was a young shepherd boy who was killed by Goliath. That might have been the story of David. Had he not known who he was before God. Had he not known who God was. But he had the conviction. He had the conviction to say, no, all I need is my sling. I have God. I don't need this fancy armor. He understood that the yoke of God was easy. The burden was light. You might ask, how do I know which yoke I need to smash, which armor I need to take off? And I think it can be obvious to a degree, right? But if not, ask yourself these questions. What guides your decisions more than anything else? What do you think about or worry about more than anything else? What are your dreams and ambitions based on? You know, I think it's interesting because I believe taking off the worldly yoke is repentance, right? We're turning to God. We're taking off everything. And when we say Jesus is Lord at our baptism, that's a decision that we're making to put on the yoke of Jesus. And it's actually an amazing blessing to be able to do that. Because that means that God, who is all powerful, all knowing, is going to be the person guiding and steering your life. Why would we not want that? The last thing Jesus talks about in this passage, as far as our three things, he says, come to me, right? Then he says, put my yoke on. The last thing he says is learn from me. I want to talk about spend time learning from Jesus. Spending time learning from Jesus. You know, it's a little too easy not to spend time with Jesus. I actually hate how easy it is to not do it. It's not that you don't notice it. It's just that it's very easy to let other things that are visible control and dictate how we use our time. It's way too easy. And we don't do this with anything else. Like, we don't do this with food. It's not that easy to go a whole day and not eat, right? That's not a very easy task. It's very difficult to just, and we notice it and we feel weak, right? And we also are weak spiritually when we don't have time with God daily. And yet, it can still be easy just not to do it. I see not spending time with Jesus as the number one problem for us as believers and non-believers. Not doing the simple thing and just spending time with Jesus. Is that burden heavy? Is that a heavy yoke? No, just it's spending time. Right? You're not asked to do anything. It's just I want to spend time getting to know Jesus. And yet we can so often overlook it. I want to read in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Martha chose to work for Jesus. Mary chose to be with Jesus. Who chose better? Mary chose better. Mary chose to be with Jesus, and that was the thing that mattered. That's what Jesus says. Only one thing matters. He says to be with him. This is honestly one of the biggest lessons I've learned in my walk as a Christian, just to spend time with Jesus. It's so easy to get focused on just working for Jesus, just doing things for Jesus. It's like, oh, I'm not doing enough, right? Especially if you're a guilty soul like me. It's just, I need to do more. I need to be doing more. And you can forget to just spend time getting to know Jesus. You know, I grew up thinking that God expects me to sacrifice. That to be accepted by Jesus, you have to, as I mentioned before, be a martyr. You have to give everything you have. You have to live a life of constant self-condemnation. Not that I was even living this kind of life, but, you know, this is my thought. If I ever wanted to turn myself over to God, this is what it would be like. Constant self-condemnation. You know, if you feel good about yourself, it's because there's some kind of sin going on. You know, you're not allowed to feel good. If you feel good, there's definitely, you know, you got to repent. I thought I just had to sacrifice to be approved and accepted by God. This is influenced in the way that I grew up, the way I understood God, and the way that I follow God. So growing up, I looked at, you know, like Mother Teresa as basically the standard of what it means to kind of be a Christian. I grew up Catholic, right? And so I looked at her as that standard. And I still have a ton of respect for Mother Teresa to this day. But recently, because they made her a saint, so they release all of her letters, you know, that she wrote It's kind of like this idea of everything's going to be put out there. And you know what's interesting about what was contained within these letters? I don't know if you guys have read about any of this, but it basically said that she didn't feel the presence of God for the last 50 years of her life. She talks about how in her letters that she wears her smile as a mask, how she doubted God and even heaven. And that all began when she first moved to Calcutta. So that was the latter 50 years of her life. And yet, you know, we all have struggles with doubt and things like that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it broke my heart to see that somebody who sacrificed everything for God and his mission and for his kingdom did not feel the presence of God, didn't feel the amazing blessing of being with God, of knowing God, how incredible that is just to spend time with God. It just killed me to see that. I just couldn't believe it that I read that. You know, and I think about the passage where, you know, all in Matthew 7, we're talking, all these people are doing all these amazing things. And Jesus is like, I never knew you. It's not about doing things. It's about knowing God and him knowing us. That's what it's about. He's like, you guys never had a relationship with me. Like, I didn't know you. We didn't talk. We didn't hang out. You did things for me, but we didn't spend time together. I grew up thinking that this was how it's supposed to be. But Jesus says to Mary, you know, she chose better to be with Jesus. You know, I can struggle with this concept in a lot of ways, including in marriage. It's easy for me to think about the work and the mission and, you know, to focus on all of these other things and to serve for my family, to sacrifice for Lamisha and I, to do all these things. There's battles to be won. There's wars to be waged. Like, let's go do it. Let's go conquer these things. And I can even make excuses like, oh, I'm doing this all for, you know, our family. I'm sacrificing like this for our family to make our lives better. And that's not completely untrue. Like, you know, it's not that is untrue. These are things that I'm doing. But do you think that, Lamisha, do you think my wife wants all of my sacrifice at the cost of our relationship? No, she wants me. She wants to know me. She wants to be with me. She wants me to know her. She wants us to spend time together. Do you think God wants your service, or do you think God wants you? God wants you. He wants to get to know you. He wants to spend time with you, knowing you. He wants you to know him, to have a relationship. If we're not careful, spending quality time with God can be something that we used to do. It could be something that we used to do when we were studying the Bible or right after we got baptized. That those real meaningful quality times, it could be something that is now a page in our history. We can still be having amazing, inspirational times with God where we leave feeling like, oh, I could punch through this brick wall if I wanted to, you know? Don't do it. But you can feel that way. You know, spending time with God is incredible. If you haven't been spending time with God, or if you don't feel connected or close to God, constantly working, whatever it may be, just stop. Take a breather. Get back to the most important thing, to spend time with God. And as you do that, watch what happens. Everything else will flow through that. You'll be more effective. You'll work more. You'll have more energy. You know, you'll have this light in your eyes. You'll have this glow. And it will just flow through you, those times with God. It can't not. It can't not. If you're having quality times with God, it will just happen. Just let it happen. You'll be overflowing as God fills you up. It will overflow through you. And getting to know God, you'll trust him with everything. You know, it's crazy the things that we do sometimes when we're in love, right? I mean, it's like you temporarily can lose your mind sometimes when you're in love. I mean, I remember, you know, when Lamisha and I were building our relationship, and she used to come down from New York for these weekends together, and where we would go on dates and stuff like that. And, you know, there was one time where it was snowing. It started to snow in New York. It wasn't yet snowing in Maryland where I was living. And so the snow started, so they canceled this, like, bus trip. She took this, like, you know, $5 cheap bus to come down to Maryland. I forgot what it was called. Megabus, that's it. Right. So she would come down with that, and then they cancel it, right? We're not risking this, guys. So I'm like, oh, man, you know, I'm not going to have this weekend with Lamisha. So I get in my truck. I drive up to New York. All right. I pick her up, and I bring her back to Maryland. All right. I mean, we just do. Do you think I felt like I was burdened by that? No, I wasn't burdened. It was a joy to be able to do it, right? And when we love God, when we are in love with God, when we know how much we're loved by God, nothing feels burdensome. Everything, it's easy. It's a joy to be able to do it when we really love God. It's incredible to walk with God. So if we want to have these light, burden-free lives that Jesus is offering us, it just requires three things. Come to Jesus. Go to Him desperately, knowing that He can solve it. Put His yoke on. Learn from Him. Right? Allow Him to lead and control and guide your life. And spend time allowing Jesus to teach you. Thank you guys so much. Love you. To God be the glory.